Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's halfway through the week. And that means it's not just the middle of the week. It's also the time we do a thing we call the Grand Council. All right, I bring on two of my brethren who have done this longer than me, and we ping each other with questions and just see where we fall. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. Let me make the roll call real quick. From FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you with us?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you, my friend. All right, and then turning north, from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville. Oh, by the way, also writes for Yellowhammer News, and apparently other radio stations let him on, too. Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh.
Ah, stand at ease. All right, I pronounce a quorum. Big Rig, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Ta-da! All right. Listen, we are on a go here. So I'm going to go say, Jeff Poor, what's your question?
I want to talk House District 10. And
that's my question.
You knew this was going to come up, right? Well, anyway, I kind of take this a different direction, though. I mean, the outcome is what it is, and we all know that. I mean, it was a blowout. How much of a fall or how much of a hit should House Republicans and the particular leadership there take for this blowout loss? It's one thing if you lose by 2 or 3 points. It's another when you just get slam dunked on.
Yeah, slam dunked and also overlooked all at the same time, because the turnout was actually abysmal when you get looking at the true numbers for the district. But I think House leadership has to own some of this, because they're supposed to be supporting the position and trying to get their person in, and they chose to basically just kind of sit back. And I mean, I've had some listeners that texted in and said that the campaigning for the Republican candidate was pretty tepid by all accounts. So I think House leadership's got to own it to some degree. I think the state party's going to have to own it. And truthfully, I got other questions about it, but Marilyn Lands, she got elected. Why? Because more people went to the polls. That's all there is to it. A lot of folks stayed home for whatever reason. Dale, what you got?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for this, and I think that there is maybe we are putting too much into this. This was a special election. This was a low turnout thing. It was going to be, and the Democrats motivated their single-issue voters. I mean, I've been saying for days now that the simple fact of the matter is abortion, 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 abortion. Oh, yeah, IVF, too. So reproductive rights. And they've been running this. And I think that's an effective way to get single-issue voters out. It's not the beginning of a blue wave. If you go to Reddit, which is really funny, a lot of blue wave talk here. But I don't think that's what this is. I think you have just an outlier election here where they had someone who was just running on one thing, and they were able to do it. And look, we had all CNN and all these other entities came in here. And I'm not dogging Yaffe, but let me dog our friend Yaffe here for a second. And it's not his fault, but I'm going to use him as an example. He said to me, he's like, what was Teddy Powell running on? And I said, the fact that you're asking that is a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, because that's right there in the WVNN stomping grounds. It's smack dab right in the middle of the district, of the listening area. And it's pretty bad that he wasn't able to make a bigger dent there. It's a special election. I don't think it really means anything. You look at the national polls, immigration, economy, stuff like that, leading, abortion is still at the bottom. But man, Democrats have really done a number on women's minds to motivate them to get out and vote. So women's suffrage might have been a mistake.
All right, so women's suffrage notwithstanding, Jeff, it's your own question. I got a follow-up to it, but what's your thoughts on your own question?
I think you're way downplaying it too much, Dale. I'm not saying it matters. We still got a Republican supermajority, and the legislature's going to do what it's going to do. But these moral victories, guys,
victories.
This is the textbook example of a moral victory for national Democrats. It doesn't really mean much in the grand scheme, but it is something that they are going to champion. They're going to play this. They're going to make Marilyn Lands out to be some kind of rock star. She's supposed to be on Rachel Maddow tonight at 9 o'clock. Oh, I mean, God. this is This is the kind of thing that rallies people, and it creates this perception that I'm afraid, Senator, that what's going to happen, Republicans who are like scared of their own shadow in this state are going to interpret this as some kind of mandate against pro-life policies.
Well, and but the thing is, the only thing we got going for us in that regard, because I agree with you, there's some weak sisters right now in the legislature who jump whenever a liberal screams. But I think that right now what we've got is, the very least, is it's already law, and they would have to actually undo the law to make it happen. If it were a matter of getting something passed right now, I think it would scare them. But right now they can sit back and just go, just don't, please don't make us vote. Let's do nothing. And and we're still strong. But here's my follow-up question to this. Because right now, you're right, Jeff, it's getting, I mean, I used an article from Politico about this earlier. The Biden administration just put out a statement on a little while ago. I saw it on Dale's, because Dale follows Joe Biden pretty heavily on, you know,
me and him are social media.
Yeah, besties. And so this is getting all the rage. I mean, so here's my question. Is it an abortion mandate? Don't just stop the fluff and interpretation. Is it, in fact, an abortion mandate? Dale, you first.
No, absolutely not. Look, Maryland Lands will never cast a single vote on abortion that matters. Not one. Not a single one in her entire career in the legislature. So it's not going to matter in Alabama. It's a messaging win for Democrats. And it's a big one. And Alabamans, or whatever they're calling them now, we need to learn to do better.
Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if she'll cast a vote or not. It depends on how long she's in the Alabama legislature, but I think it's big for fundraising and other things maybe we don't see, and that is, that moral victory does translate into something for Democrats.
She's Doug Jones. That's what she is. She's going to be touted as this person that took down a red district, and they're going to trot her out, and then eventually they're going to go, holy cow, this person's very unremarkable. Why are we doing this?
But guys, this should have never happened.
It should have never happened. Never. You're right.
Even if they had lost by 2 or 3 points, Senator, would be one thing. They got blown out. Like, did they even show up? I mean, like, what happened?
Here's the other part of that, though. Here's the part that bothers me. I had somebody text a show a little while ago and said that there were people that didn't like the Republican candidate because he'd been on the city council and they didn't like the way he voted, so they stayed home. And I'm thinking, if that attitude prevails in the November elections nationwide, if people are like, well, I just can't vote for Donald Trump, I think he has mean tweets, it's going to be a bad day for America. We cannot have that attitude. At some point, you have to swallow your pride, hold your nose, and vote for somebody who might not be your chosen candidate, but is better than the alternative that got elected last night.
Let me just say this. I've lived in North Alabama for 17 years now. I've watched as it went from blue to red, and this is the first move back in the other direction. And I'm just going to tell you this right now. Huntsville School Board, Madison, all the direction these places are moving in is not good. They all want to be Nashville, and I keep telling them, you're not going to be Nashville. You're going to be Birmingham. And I said, this is the direction you guys, they're going in. They put and they're putting liberals on the school board, you're going to have some serious problems in this area with Republican voters, because it's getting bluer. And they better start worrying about this, and Republicans better be figuring out a way to get there.
But and we're going to run out of time, but before we get to your question, Dale, I got to ask, because you might know more than either one of us, what's up with Mike Ball? Now, I heard Mike Ball had a personal friendship with Maryland Lands, but former Republican representative Mike Ball endorsed her.
I think she ran his campaign.
What?
I think so. I could be wrong about that, but they do have a personal friendship, and Mike Ball is a perfect example of a disillusioned Republican. He has fallen out of love with the Republican Party. That's happened a long time ago over a very slow period of time. I don't even think he considers himself a Republican.
It's one thing I would imagine that to go Libertarian, but to go Democrat is an entirely different thing. All right, well, what's your question with about a minute to go, bud?
I was going to ask just a simple thing about how Jeff Poore broke a huge story with that Steve Perkins tape on 1819 News. They broke this story and broke my heart. But Jeff, are you seeing a lot of attention on the website? Are people caring about this story?
It was really, really, really hot early today. It's cooled off some. I did have a way reporter reach out to me who I have since ignored, wanting to know how we got it. I'm like, what do you think I'm going to tell you?
Asked that question.
Yeah, so like, don't you? What did they teach you in journalism school? Like about asking about sources and all of that. Don't bother me with that.
Let me guess. It was Josh Moon.
There listening, don't bother me with that stuff, please. Don't make
because they wouldn't get that answer.
Well, I just want to know.
Insult you on radio up in your own market.
Here's
right?
what I want to know. I want to know why Dale Jackson is so mean to reporters in general. Apparently, he just beats them up all the time, makes them feel bad for themselves. They go cry and they don't know what to do.
Because they deserve it and they know it. They go all right. home and they look in the mirror and they go, he's right.
All right, I got to take a break. We're going to run out of time. Big Rig, take it to the break, man. We'll do a break. That's round one. That flew by. Round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN and Huntsville and Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just going to round number two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Jeff, round two, first question, what you got?
I want to put it back to, I know it's spring break and all with the Alabama, or spring break 2.0 for the Alabama legislature.
Yeah.
I want to talk about gambling, and I you know, it looks like it's on its deathbed this session. But, like, what occurred to me, guys, what do you think that working relationship between the House and the Senate is? Because that seems to be where the problem is.
Hmm. I look at that and I think, first of all, it's very obvious that the House and the Senate leadership did not talk to their rank and file and get everybody on board with that bill, the gambling bill. For the House to put that much political capital into it and demand that it get brought up to the floor and out the door, like within the opening days of the session, and then for it to be, you know, so demonstrably manipulated and massaged in the Senate clearly indicates that they were not on the same page from the get-go. And so I question that. Why would they do that? And I think it's probably going to wind up you should see other bills that are going to fall by the wayside, some out of, you know, resentment and some out of, well, if that's the way you're going to be, we'll get to yours when we feel like it. So I would think that they're going to work together on some stuff that still has an agenda item attached to it. For the most part, I think that burned a little political capital, just to be honest. Dale?
It's not good, and I'm cool with that. Yeah, I think it's good that they're having a little back and forth. Make them compromise and come up with something, or don't do it. The Senate bill's the least bad bill. Still bad. So, yeah, let them fight.
What are you hearing, Jeff? You talk to folks all the time.
Yeah, I think this is like the fundamental part of the problem here. Like, Del Marsh did something remarkable when he first started to initiate this gambling stuff by getting the Porch Creek and the dog tracks together. But he never asked the House of Representatives what they thought, and that's why the Senate bill failed. Well, it occurs to me the House has got the same situation. Why is this so hard to see that the House and the Senate need to be the ones to come together here to get this done?
Well, and there's also, by the way, been a bit of a changeover. Even since Del left, Del Marsh left, we've had several other members of the Senate who used to be yes votes get replaced with no votes by people who you know, changed out when
Wally
folks chose not to run.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. So I think it's a bit of a whole new day, and they better stop and reassess because obviously they don't have their act. And I would say this too. What's interesting is the lobbying, class. Did not have their act together. This was probably one of the least conjoined efforts I have ever seen out of something you would think would have all the lobbyists on, you know, retainer working the issue, and they obviously did not.
They're all on
weird.
Different retainers working different issues. Jeff and I were down there not too long ago. I don't know where Phil Williams was. We were rubbing elbows with the muckety mucks of Alabama. And, I mean, I'm not kidding you. Jeff, back me up on this. We're sitting there. Lobbyist sits down. Hey, let's talk about sports gaming. Another lobbyist comes and sits down and says, hey, what are you guys doing to my bill? You know, all this, I mean, it's just like, I know, we'll kill your bill. And they scurried away. But this happens. We're all working on different things. And you're right, there's no cohesive message.
It's a mess. All right, speaking of no cohesive message, second question here, Birmingham Southern. So the announcement came out yesterday. I spent some time on it earlier in the show. I had Representative Danny Garrett on to talk about it from the House side. So Birmingham Southern announces it's closing its doors forever after 168 years because the state won't give them $30 million to bail out their mismanagement. My question is, Is this a ploy to try and procure a last-minute sympathy vote, or do they really have the tea leaves read and they just know the votes aren't there and they got to shut her down? Jeff?
I kind of wonder if it's something else, like even if the state steps in, it's still curtains for Birmingham Southern. That's kind of, I mean, that's the way I interpreted it. But maybe they can get a last-ditch effort out of it. We'll see. Jabbo Wagner's capable of many unnatural things in the Alabama legislature.
this is true. He can kill your bill. And if you got a House bill and Senate rules right now, you may want to talk to him about Birmingham Southern. Dale?
I think you're right. I mean, you know, spring break is going on. They're all at Jabbo Wagner's lake house chilling. And maybe he's convinced them over a couple of beers, and maybe they'll figure something out. But at the end of the day, Birmingham and Jefferson County, guys, if this is worth $9.11 trillion to your community, y'all might want to come off that $30 million and keep them afloat. But I don't think any of the math is real. No. I think that's the real problem with it. You have a lot of talking. If the math was what they say it is, the city and county would pony this up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'll be honest with you. I think, too, that when you're looking at the House losing their love for this, part of that is on conservative principle, I think. And the other part is, why does somebody who represents, I don't know, pick one, Silver Hill, Alabama, or parts of the Wiregrass or the Shoals want to try and bail out the private institution in Birmingham that doesn't really benefit their community per se?
Another question, just real quick here.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're fine with sending public dollars to a religious organization?
Yeah, and by the way, don't forget that this same private institution is the one that said, well, we're private, so you can't tell us what to do about vaccinations on our campus back during COVID. But all of a sudden, now they want public dollars.
United Methodist is essentially secular these days anyway, right, guys? I mean,
don't parts of them over are. My joke, all right? Let it lie.
So I'll be honest with you, fellas. I look at, and by the way, if 1819 News could please bird dog the idea of why the United Methodists have not worked to bail out their own institution, I would love to know the answer to that question. I don't know the answer. I'm asking. I think it's a story worth writing. Just saying. I got no control. The editor might know something about that. Just saying.
Purple.
All right, fellas, appreciate you. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. And oh, by the way, editor-in-chief for 1819 News, Dale Jackson, WVNN up in Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show. And oh, by the way, writes for Yellowhammer News. And just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.